It's the best of Drew and Mike.
It's the weekend.
Brought to you by Realtor Scott Kunath of Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual. See what your home is worth, or if you need help in finding your new one, call 248-797-7746.
Scott!
You can text Scott at 248-797-7746 or S. Kunath at CBWM. And like it seems so many of our advertisers, we have some very kind words from some of Scott's clients. Said he was good at, and I hate the term holding your hand, but it was a new home buyer. So, you know,
it's kind of a scary experience. You don't want to get screwed in the deal and use a safety net.
Yeah, you got a middle-aged guy who listens to Drew and Mike helping you, and he knows what he's doing. So, all good with Realtor Scott Kunath, who brings you the best of Drew and Mike. Should we try Trent Bolte?
Yeah, we can give him a shot.
Trent Bolte, just a shout out. Although we tried to call multiple times with no luck. So far, we are in communication with Trent Bolte.
He's been taking some crap, I guess. I mean, isn't that shocking that he'd be taking some heat online?
Everybody's taking crap these days.
I don't know why.
Everybody's giving crap.
I just don't know why he is.
Some Chris Watt on an app for a gay dating site.
Maybe a bad choice.
Well, you know, I think you thought Watt was hot.
Yeah.
Everybody wants Watt.
Everybody, yeah. He's got a lot of potential prison wives.
He's avoiding us.
That Nicole was really pretty. The mistress. And his wife was pretty. God, that, by the way, they had audio of him giving play-by-play of killing his wife and his kids. Did anybody listen to that besides me?
I did not, no.
Oh, it is. I can't believe he even said it. I mean, to live it would be one thing. To me, it was so unthinkable, I don't know how you could repeat it. You know, the second girl was, I believe, the 4-year-old.
Oh, yeah. Those
yeah.
Kids.
And she's, you know, no daddy. Oh. And something about, you know, what's wrong with mommy. And it sounded like she sort of knew what was going on. I mean, it was just horrible.
Oh, is it true that he killed her after she came home and they did it?
They had sex at 2 o'clock in the morning. And then at 5 o'clock in the morning, they started to argue because he had not been in contact with her. And she thought he was being really cold. And he said he didn't love her. And supposedly, I don't know if I believe she said, "You'll never see the kids again." And that's what set him off. I don't know about the part. I just added that because that's what he heard, but 10 times worse. And he said that he was lying on her, which is weird because she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And that he just strangled her. He just put his hands on her neck and strangled her. Like it was impulsive, like, not see the kids.
How soon can we get him to prison food and penis?
I know.
Is my question.
Well, the problem is he going to like penis?
Yes.
You know,
like Trent Bolte's.
You know what's interesting? I've noticed this
allegedly
about sociopathic types when they cross that first line. Uh-huh. It's
easier than next
time. Yeah, and I wondered if this guy crossing boundaries sexually and then crossing the boundary to kill his wife, then crossing boundaries to kill his kids, he's just all about getting off. Kind of like Gacy. It's all about getting your rocks off.
Yeah. Could be the best looking. Is he technically a serial killer?
No.
Three?
You were hoping that he would go in your bracket. That way you could select him. But unfortunately, Trudy, he does not qualify.
Well, I don't know. I don't want him in my bracket anyway. I break up with him before he's even in that bracket.
I think Bundy is in
Why
the final.
Why do you like going down on me?
I think Bundy's a final Forster for sure.
No.
I think he's a one seed.
Yeah, maybe.
He's so hot right now.
He is. He's really hot right now. I don't know why, but Bundy month was huge.
Just wait till Efron plays him on the big screen. Oh, my God.
Efron's too attractive to play Bundy, though.
That was clever marketing, though, having the movie come out not in Bundy month, but after Bundy month to sort of reignite him in the news. Because, no, it is out, isn't it? The Bundy movie? Is it out?
No.
No, okay. So, yeah, they did. They removed it from Bundy month. So they get another splurge of Bundy.
Yeah.
I would think they'd open Instagram accounts and stuff and just post old pictures and, hey, Ted, looking good. Wow, hot. A lot of eggplants and stuff. Chicks with hearts.
He just wishes that he had lived to see all that.
Well, he
hashtag
did to
Bundy
some degree.
On Twitter. Hmm.
Got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
And, of course, he was on death row. And that was, you know, again, that was crossing lines. He was not a drug user. But on death row, he was taking everything. He was smoking pot. He was, I forgot what else he was taking. Did you watch it, Brandon? The conversations with Bundy?
Yeah, the Bundy tapes?
Yeah.
Right.
Wasn't it kind of strange that on death row, all of a sudden, he's taking drugs all the time?
Oh, he was able to do anything he wanted. He was able to obviously bang his old lady and knock her up and have a child, raise the family. There's a lot of pictures of the three of them together.
They were a cute family.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a good-looking family.
And then whenever he wanted, she would bring drugs in, probably in her butt, and then he would take those. And
transfer them to his butt.
Put them in his butt and then go back to his cell and just get high all night.
Yep. Yeah, was he doing heroin? I'm trying to remember now. It was pretty heavy stuff, as I recall.
I don't recall heroin, but he pretty much said the guards just didn't care. I wonder if they charmed him.
Well, they were a charming family. I mean, we saw the pictures in the cell. Good-looking family. I mean, if they'd had a better background, I'm sure it would have been...
Ted, where you at?
They had a better background, it could have been like a family glamour shot type thing.
But I mean, if you're a prison guard, you see these people every single day. You're going to develop a relationship with them.
Well, how old is that Bundy kid now, do you think?
She's 35.
Yeah.
Has anybody seen her?
No, she's very hard to locate.
She's anonymous, and she's been redacted in almost everything.
What if she were an influencer or something like that? We didn't know it. That Bundy gene was still being used on all of us?
She probably is.
She changed her name to Amanda Bynes or something like
that.
Ah,
yes, which brings us to...
Well, I was going to say with Gacy, remember, he used to get on the guards all the time and say, what's the matter? You didn't get any this weekend?
Yeah.
Get on your knees and get on it. Yeah. And that would always elicit...
Get on your knees and get on it.
He likes to kid him.
Yeah, he likes to kid with the guards.
About,
does this grass make you horny?
But it's always something really twisted.
When he's talking to Jason.
Asshole.
Everything turns sexual.
Yeah.
And then he started coming on to me.
Man, I can't believe all these people coming on to Gacy. He's a lot of hot. He was sneaky hot.
Sneaky.
Unlike Bundy, who's just hot. I mean, there's no argument. Gacy's sneaky hot. Kind of like a Hyderach.
But you're right, though. Right now, there's some dude who's married to a chick, and it's the love of his life, and he has no idea her dad was Ted Bundy.
Oh, my God.
She knows, though, doesn't she?
She's got to know.
Yeah, because I think her mother was proud.
Her mother loved it.
She probably gets in arguments with people when they say Bundy was a murderer.
He was hot.
The mother didn't think he did it.
And they're probably little Bundy children, too.
Grandchildren.
What if they had a married with children with real Bundys?
Ooh, wow, that's wild. What a concept. Before we get to the best of, no Trent Bolte. That's unfortunate. Yeah, what a cute song for that Bundy family. The song works. You don't have to change the song.
Love and marriage, love and marriage. Go together like a horse and carriage. This, I tell your brother, you can't have one without the other.
God, that show just carried Fox. I mean, that elevated Fox. I wonder if Fox would have gotten off the ground without Married with Children and The Simpsons.
I wasn't allowed to watch either of those shows when I was a kid.
Even The Simpsons?
Simpsons, they let it slide from here and there. But when it first came out, you know, in the late 80s, everybody was just like, keep your kids away from this. This is an adult cartoon.
Did the homeless guy get to watch The Simpsons?
Well, by that point, I was like 13, and I was able to watch it. And yes, Al did get to watch it.
So Al was never deprived of The Simpsons or the Bundy family.
Or smoking in the house, which was prohibited. He just stuck his head out the window.
Well, he did take some liberties.
Yeah, there wasn't a bathroom upstairs, and so he would just piss out my window onto the driveway.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't think that's appropriate for a guest. I mean, was he homeless before?
Yes, he was.
Maybe he's just kind of in between
addresses.
He was in between getting comfortable.
The night
just needed a little domesticating.
The night my dad brought him back to our house, he was apparently sleeping.
Sounds like a feral animal.
He was sleeping in the woods behind Kroger.
My dad found him in the.
Wow. Yeah.
My dad's like, no, you don't have to do that. Come stay with me. My son's got bunk beds and no one's on the bottom bunk.
Oh my God. Oh wow.
He's chain smoking out the window.
Sinister.
Peeing out the window.
He was actually kind of
watching
cool
Married
dude.
With Children like a madman.
Nothing bad happened.
Well, no, because he stole your dad's equipment. He stole a guitar, stole some money.
Yeah, but I mean, if that's the worst, then I got out of that okay.
I guess, yeah, after watching Leaving Neverland.
Yeah, looking back, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, I know. You always look back on things that you did and think, holy shit.
One of those bunks could have gone unmessed up for a long time. Brandon could be in therapy right now.
Oh. Nothing happened.
I know. It did. We didn't get to Jesse Smollett yesterday, and, you know, this story just makes me so mad because I'm so tired of hearing about how he walked into court upright and proud. It's like, and today, or rather Friday, it was said that he's maintained his innocence from the outset. Huh. No, he's lied from the outset, and he's going to keep lying because he wants to get off this charge. So can't they point out both sides that he's maintained his innocence, but the facts maintain that he's been lying all the way through, and that what would happen in the future as he defends himself is that he would continue to lie, therefore being consistent as well.
Right. Well, all that'll fall apart in court, so we just have to get there.
I don't know. You know, he's got Mark Garagos. It's a pretty small-time case for Mark Garagos. No, he doesn't always win.
And there's a whole lot of video evidence, and I'm sure there's a lot we haven't seen, and
I'm trying to figure out how they're going to suggest, okay, they're going to beat up on the Chicago police. That's easy. However, you know, they've got these guys on camera buying rope, the rope,
right.
Red hats. They've got two witnesses who are saying, yes, he put us up to it. They have no reason. Why would they lie? He was paying them money to train. They were friends. They were doing a little work on Empire. So you would think, but I think what they're going to do is they're going to suggest that these guys attacked him and he believed that they were from MAGA country, that they were mad at him for some reason, or they're just going to kind of imply that he didn't know what these guys were doing. He had no idea these guys were going to do that, that maybe they were trying to up his profile.
I don't know. Attention seeking in this country has gotten so out of hand.
Well, this one, of course, at the expense of gay people and black people who are suffering, you know, genuine discrimination of some kind. Yeah. And for some reason, you know, when this first came out that, oh, maybe he's not telling the truth, you know, it was, oh, why would some guy in his position be such an asshole? But now it seems, I feel like the narrative is starting to twist a little bit to, hey, look at him. He's going to court. Oh, my gosh. Look at all the supporters. He's got lots of supporters with him, too.
Right.
Who are these supporters? Aren't they just family members?
No. It's fans of the show.
Oh, fans. Okay. Yeah.
Fans of his music.
Come on.
Does not have fans of his music. It all seems fake to me. But he was on Empire on Wednesday night, and he actually had a speaking line that they played on the news where he says something about telling his fans, because he plays a musician on the show, doesn't he?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He's telling his fans that it's been a tough week.
Because you had a bad day. He should sing this song.
I don't know if that was meant to be cute, or wouldn't you think that saying that line would sound bad in your return to Empire?
Yeah, I
Frank
think
it, Brandon.
That, yeah. Twitter, though, in its ultimate wisdom, went wild over the whole, you know, walking tall into court.
Oh, please.
So,
what?
They all went apeshit about the, you know, like everybody wants to slap the crap out of him and remember, stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Because there are also people who are on his side.
He had lot of celebrity support, especially when this first broke out.
When it first broke out, yeah.
Everybody assumed he was telling the truth. So Ellen Page went on TV and did a whole spiel about it.
Yes. I think it was Mike Pence's fault, wasn't it?
Yes, it was Mike Pence's fault that Jesse Smollett got attacked.
That he faked an attack on himself.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people went to Twitter, and they stood by with solidarity with him.
Well,
I have been ignoring it up until you mentioned it, so I've been doing a really good job of boxing it out. But
I'm trying. I have a really funny feeling that in the end he's going to be quote-unquote vindicated.
I don't know. I want the time machine because I think if we fast forward through time, he's going to jail. 16
felony right.
against him. Chicago police can't be held
responsible.
They do a lot of crime fighting.
Oh, they spend a lot of time on this case. And the idea, too, that he's being somehow mistreated because he's black or gay. No, no, no. They spent a lot of time on this. He got better treatment than anyone else would because he is a famous person. Well, famous now he is. He's an actor. He makes a lot of money. He has resources. Also, being gay and black and the nature of the quote-unquote attack ensured that he would get a lot of attention. And in the end, he benefits from being a celebrity. And he does again.
And so does Empire on Fox.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they probably did really well. Mm-hmm. I don't know the show. I understand it's done very well over the years. I have nothing against the show. But it did bother me to find out that Michelle Obama's chief of staff, apparently early in this investigation, some things were coming out that were a little bit unfavorable, mm-hmm. you know, that they couldn't find it on the videotape, that, you know, he was wearing the noose around his neck when he got home, which people thought was weird. Mm-hmm. And so Michelle Obama's chief of staff, Tina Chen, who is also the co-founder of the Time's Up Defense Fund.
Oh.
I don't know what the Time's Up Defense Fund is doing, right?
It's helping women who have been...
Oh, I know what it's allegedly doing, and I keep hearing about people...
I'm woman-splaining it to you.
I keep hearing about people throwing millions into it, you know, like Les Moonves, $20 million, right. Or CBS, I think. But I'm not hearing what the cases are that they're working. I mean, I honestly just don't know. But she co-founded the defense fund, which is very successful, apparently. So anyway, Michelle Obama's chief of staff calls the prosecutor in Chicago and says the family is not happy with the investigation so far, and they would like the FBI to take over. Now, this is Michelle Obama's former chief of staff, who leads the Time's Up Defense Fund, somebody with significant power and influence. And the Chicago, the prosecutor goes to the head of the Chicago police, who we saw at the press conference, and says, I got a call from Tina Chen. She would like the FBI. The family is not happy. They would like the FBI to take this over. And I think the feeling was, boy, we'd love to get out from under this. This was such a no-win for the Chicago police.
Sure.
Because in the end, they have to say, no, this motherfucker lied. This is bullshit. And they know that they're going to be attacked because of their, and he said in the press conference, he said, we've made mistakes. We're doing a lot better. We have some distance to go. So, I mean, there's all these things attack Chicago police for. But the truth of the matter is they busted their ass on this case. There was no mistreatment of Jesse Smollett. He's the big liar. Anyway, the FBI said, no, this is not something we would do.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But before they said that, the prosecutor texted with a Smollett relative and said that she was doing everything in her power to accede to their wishes, to which the relative responded, oh, my God, that would be a huge victory. And she said, I make no guarantees. Anyway, when he was charged, Kim Fox had to recuse herself because she's talking to relatives. She's trying to help move this to the FBI. So therefore, she is no longer objective.
Right.
So she recused herself. So, I you know, as can you believe a relative, by the way, I know this is an acting family and all that. Can you believe a relative would have the audacity to go to Tina Chen, Michelle Obama's chief of staff, and say, could you do us a little favor? We don't like the way the Chicago police are handling this.
That sounds like they might.
Yeah, it sounds like they didn't mind doing it at all, but...
I agree.
I guess when you know people. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, fuck him.
Well, they're kind of used to getting their way, aren't they? Because
the Smolletts? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesse's had a pretty good ride.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to watch the Mighty Ducks the same way again.
Yeah, he was a child actor then.
Yeah.
He's a child.
Was he 13? 12?
I thought he was younger than that.
Yeah, somewhere around that range. He played Terry.
Terry?
I'm sure he was fantastic.
Yeah.
With the weekend, I just want to remind people that we do have a larger palette for you on the Red Shovel Network with Charlie LaDuff's No BS News. Also, the No Filter Sports Podcast with Eli Denny and Bob Page. Another fiery episode on Thursday.
Yes.
What were they? What were these guys yapping about? Oh, I heard them upstairs. It was getting loud.
There's a lot of new MLB rule changes that some former players aren't happy about, including Denny McClain. You'll get your Pistons talk because they were hot and now they're kind of fading away.
Did they talk about the NFL, Antonio Brown and
yes.
Odell Beckham? Okay.
Yeah.
And Denny left me a Hershey bar again. So
did he really? Why didn't he leave me any damn food? I see him every time he comes here.
He's definitely leaving him for me because it's on my side of the table. So, and I'm down here first, so I just take the opportunity to eat it.
And I know I would do the same.
I don't know
thing.
if it's meant to be left. He may want it to be.
It sure looks like it's on your side right now.
The I don't know what's up another day.
The ML Elric show, The Soul of Detroit with ML Elric, also is available. Episode 4, which was. We're talking about Carmack and Duggan, and ML's been involved in that story. Also,
his music pick of the week.
Yes, his new wave, unappreciated new wave song of the week. And I just said it's a big new wave-ish band. I joined him for that part of the show. They have a geek of the week that I participated in as well. Oh. I'm not giving that away.
I like the way he thinks.
Yeah, no, the show has a great role to it. In fact, the first three episodes, I know he feels like he's getting in the flow of it because it does take a while. It's hard because you do your first show and people go, oh, I want to hear that. And it's like, oh, but it's my first day. So I think the show's been getting better, but I think he's got a great, there's a nice camaraderie there. Mark's been working with him and also Sean Windsor from the Free Press, and there's a lot of ragging going on, and I think it's a good listen. And show number 4, and moving forward here at the Red Shovel Network. So who knows what show number 5 will be, but this I do know, show number 1 has a sponsor on Saturday, and it's Scott Kunith. Realtor Scott Kunith, the Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual, see what your home is worth, or if you need help in finding yourself a new one, call or text Scott at 248-797-7746. That's 248-797-7746 or S. Kunith at CBWM. And he will hold your hand if you'd like Scott to help you or a younger person who's buying their first home. Scott would love to, as the rising star of CBWM, show you why he's a star, because he is very thorough, and as he says, if there's a question he doesn't know the answer to, he will get it for you. His word is his guarantee. Scott Kunith. Scott! So, on the best of, you know what? I don't think I wrote the list down. I did, but I don't know where the list is.
Well, the Lou Pearlman documentary, that dropped this past Wednesday at the South by Southwest. It's going to be released sometime in April. So, we figured we'd go and we'd dig up our conversation with Chris Kirkpatrick because he covered a lot of that Lou Pearlman stuff in there. So,
and he is part of this documentary as well.
He is in the documentary, yeah.
He's from
NSYNC.
NSYNC.
Yeah, okay. And when we worked over at 105.1, we worked with Jake Chapman, who's now in Cleveland. But he stopped by the studio and hooked us up because Chris Kirkpatrick's actually a close friend of his. They kind of hooked up in Florida.
Was Jake almost in NSYNC? I heard that Jake was like the last cut for NSYNC.
I think he was, yeah. He didn't have...
How cool is that?
He didn't have the dance moves.
Oh, my. They were on... Wait, are they the... No, they're not the one with Wahlberg. That would be New Kids on the Block.
Yeah.
Correct.
They were on... Let me see him on the Today Show.
No.
They were Getting Down, and of course the crowd was going crazy.
Really?
Like they were 20 again. It was so stupid.
Wow.
But
was Timberlake with... Wait,
NSYNC with Chris Kirkpatrick, NSYNC. Who's going to get his ass kicked worse than Little Limp Bizkit Bastards.
And Backstreet Boys? Who's in Backstreet Boys?
Oh, nobody knows those guys. Nick Carter?
Okay. Anyway, they're doing their gig, like, and they're doing their dance moves rather significantly slower than they used to, I think.
Yeah.
And there was one guy
with a walker.
No, not yet. No. They do okay. There was one guy who just seemed like he was watching everyone else, and he was like doing the move last. It was weird. It was like, that guy is so phoning in those dance moves. Who the fuck is that?
I bet you it was Jonathan.
I don't know. It seemed to me like it was a substitute, and it was a last minute thing, and they just said, do what we're doing.
Or Danny.
And he never said a word in the interview either.
Following.
So it was the most phoned in boy band performance I've ever witnessed.
Had to have been Jonathan or Danny. Danny was the one who was the muscle, and then Jonathan was the shy, quiet guy.
I don't know who it was, but I was appalled.
I don't know anything about these people.
Because you know Donnie talked.
Oh, yeah, Donnie's the
Jordan
the big,
Knight.
Big dude in the band. Yeah, Jordan Knight, he was all over it. This guy, I think he was filling in. I think they had a sub and they didn't want to say anything.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing Danny.
But, we got the Chris Kirkpatrick, and then what else?
We also have some Super Sweet 16 talk. Is that what's all going right. on here, Joe? Yeah, Super Sweet 16.
Cool. I love Super Sweet 16. I've never seen such bratty kids in my life.
I can't recall the specific episode that we were referring to, but...
I wonder if any of those kids had someone pay for them to get in or somebody pay for their SATs. It seems
hell yes.
They get a Mercedes and they bitch about what color it is. Or, I mean, they cry because they didn't get it on the day they thought they were going to get it. And
$500,000 for a party.
Or they want two cars. I did go back and look at 16 and Pregnant, the Janelle episode, last weekend, which is so...
Revisited?
Amusing. I did. It's so amusing to see a 15-year-old that's pregnant who is such a bitch. I mean, a 15-year-old girl that's pregnant, you'd figure she'd be a little humbled by the whole thing, but she doesn't want to take care of the kid. She's like, hey, I still got to be a teenager, Mom. She goes out partying.
Well, Janelle, I see you with Kifa.
Kifa. And her boyfriend, who's 19, what's his name? The boyfriend? Andrew.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's back on the show now. He's trying to get back in the kid's life. He missed the first 9 years, but he wants to get back involved.
Oh, well.
Because he like
the present. I hope you have fun living in the street with your boyfriend.
But he's overqualified to get any kind of a job.
Really?
Because Janelle's mom is telling him, you know, we got to raise a baby here. This is going to cost money, and you've been... 8 months she's been pregnant. You haven't given her a penny to help buy some of these things. You know, Cribs. And he says, I tried to apply at McDonald's. I'm even overqualified for that. He's actually just a drunk. And he dumps her because he says she's gone downhill in his mind.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't think she's as hot as she used to be.
Oh, that's a really good one.
So then it's mom's job to raise the kid. What a debacle. And then the other one was that kid that your sister knew, or she thought she knew.
Yeah.
From Monroe, Josh, who is bitching out his 16 and pregnant girlfriend in the delivery room because he thinks she's being a brat. He thinks she has a low threshold of pain, and then he wants Chinese food, and it's all about him.
Wow. My sister picked him up.
Yeah.
Gave
Brand's
him a
sister picked him up hitchhiking.
Hitchhiking.
He knows the dude. Oh, my God.
the risk takers in your family, Brandon.
I know it, right?
That's pretty cuckoo. But anyway, yeah, he's in all kinds of trouble now. It's been, I think, 7, 8 years ago, and he's, oh, my God, this guy's been in so much trouble, and he was such an asshole. But I don't know. For some reason, why does that amuse me?
I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows? So anyway, Super Sweet 16, always worth revisiting.
And Ted Bundy's daughter, Amanda Bynes. We're going to revisit that. She's currently back in rehab, and we all miss crazy Amanda Bynes. And I think this was, you know, during some of her craziest times.
It was kind of
a shame, though, because she really got her act back together and she was looking awesome.
She looked great. She did.
And then she must have, well, you know, sometimes you slip and maybe she was.
She went off the rails. I don't know what happened to her. But when she was really wild, first of all, she was posting these scantily clad pictures. And it was like, wow, she was
driving crazy and
she was setting stuff on
fire
and hitting cars and
calling everybody ugly on
that
Twitter.
Was my favorite part. That was by far my favorite part was anyone who said anything she didn't like, she would declare them ugly. And she declared some pretty good looking people ugly.
Yeah.
Although she did go after some ugly people too, but it was just the way she would say it, it was like some weird place in her brain went off and it was weird because she would usually do it in a fairly clever and extremely cutting way. But I don't know. I couldn't get enough.
Very talented.
I have to say her off days are on days for me. I enjoy them. But I wish her well.
Friends are really worried about her. So.
I know. I'm worried about her, too, and we hope that she'll turn things around.
She hasn't done anything since 2010. It's been 9 years since she was in her last flick, which was Easy A.
I bet she'll...
I loved that movie.
She had a 10-year stretch, though, where she had some really big movies. She had some really big television shows.
What were her biggest movies?
The biggest movie, well, she was in a lot of, like, rom-coms.
Child star, wasn't
she?
She's
the Man, Easy A, What a Girl Wants.
What a Girl Wants, yeah. Everybody saw that, didn't they? It was all over. You couldn't get away from it in the movie channels.
Yeah. She did The Amanda Show. She did All That, which was
big. She was in All That. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Sound like quite a fan, Trudy.
I just didn't.
You part of the Bynes Nation?
I don't know. I feel pretty bad for her because I thought it was going really well.
It was, and we've been worried sick since we got the news, but we certainly do wish her well. No, I mean, really, been concerned about her. And then we had one more item, didn't we?
That was it? Nope.
Oh, that was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's roll with the best of Drew and Mike. Amanda Bynes finally resurfaced.
My girl, yeah.
And it is the weirdest and worst interview possibly ever.
And not because of Amanda Bynes.
No, she...
That's the amazing part.
She does what she's supposed to do. Who is this person interviewing? Everyone's talking about it, too. It's funny. All the comments are about the interviewer. Yeah. there's like 6,000 comments underneath that interview. And they're all about how cringy the interviewer is and how weird she looks and who is this idiot?
Diana Madison, whoever that is. I don't even know...
Never heard of her.
What this thing is, this Holly Scoop that she gave this interview to.
And this is, you know, Amanda Bynes is somebody who really we've wanted to hear from in a sort of cogent way for years. She was off the rails. I mean, when Amanda Bynes, if they said Amanda Bynes news coming up, you would not turn off your television.
No, she was a
train wreck.
She says she was on drugs. But
she was a nonstop train wreck.
Yeah, her tweets were hilarious.
Oh, my God. Everyone's ugly.
Yeah,
it was
that's
hilarious.
Right.
Remember how she was, everyone was ugly.
I forgot about that.
She wouldn't stop calling people ugly. It was absolutely comical. It was bizarre.
I'm reading this lady that did the interview on her website. Her description of herself is mommy, entrepreneur, talk show host, producer, fashionista.
Oh.
Which basically is, I don't have a real job. I mean, what are those, a real job? And then down below she has Amanda Bynes speaks out for the first time in 5 years. Last week, I had a top secret interview with actress Amanda Bynes. It was an interview that I've been working on for over 3 years to get.
And this is how you do the interview?
It was awful. It's so bad, it's funny. And once again, because of this interviewer.
I couldn't believe, of all the things she asks her, it seems like the only thing that comes up of interest regarding her crazy time was that she wanted Drake to murder her vagina.
Yeah.
That was like the only thing. As far as her calling people ugly and all the
None
crazy incidents and her setting her, wasn't her parents' house on fire
or
something?
She should have gone through almost every single individual.
She went through nothing. No. She's talking about, well, let's just
She went through one of them. But the best part, I think, is when they brought up the video board. Did you make it that far into the interview?
I did. I don't think I did. Is that the end?
When she's asking about who's hottest or what looks.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Did you see the part where she put up the picture of Miley Cyrus and Demi Lovato?
No, I don't think. I think I kind of dreamweaver during
that. Well, I'll just, in case I don't get to it. And then the third one was Selena Gomez. And the interviewer goes, here's three of your friends. And Amanda Bynes goes, I don't know those people. I just assumed everybody was on Nickelodeon or Disney when they were a kid knows each other. Which, why?
She was ripping people she worked with anyway. Nobody was her friend the last 5 years.
I know, but nice. If you worked 3 years to get this interview and you don't know stuff like that,
I know,
or just make that assumption.
She's interviewing her in front of this this glass thing with a big red Diana in cursive. Apparently she signed it in paint.
Oh my God, that's stupid.
This looks so ridiculous. I don't know where. Who is this person?
I have no idea. She doesn't even have a Wikipedia page.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
Okay.
Or she does. She doesn't have one right now.
Well, roll this and I'll read some of the comments because they're pretty universal.
Welcome to Lowdown with Diana Madison. I'm so excited because I have the very talented and beautiful Amanda Bynes in here. So Amanda's made over 10 films, has done countless TV shows. 4 Kids' Choice Awards, SAG Award, MTV Movie Award, list goes on. She's also have a controversy under her belt. And I like to say, welcome to the show, the brand new Amanda Bynes. Hello.
Hello. How are you, Diana?
I'm so excited to see you. First of all,
so
you
excited
look
to see you.
Gorgeous.
Thank you. So do you. Absolutely
Thank you.
Stunning.
Thank you. We were talking fashion before we started doing the show.
No one cares about
You're
that
You're wearing
part.
Lace.
Skip it.
Ready for
prep. I don't want to be as well.
Of all things, Dr. Amanda Bynes about.
A fashion girl. Like, I love hearing that. So I will take
Thank
that as a
you.
Compliment. Okay. Yeah.
For sure.
Where does
oh,
the
so
red
now it's about you.
Amanda Bynes approved of it. I'm excited to have you in here. It's been a while since I saw you. Last time I saw you was we talked about this Michael Costello's event.
We've been on this for 3 years.
I came to my holiday party like 2 years ago, which was fun seeing you. But the
Ditto.
Public, yeah, I remember that was so fun. But the public like hasn't
Back
really
when you
seen
were nuts.
And I think your fans want to know, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. Really great.
You look beautiful.
Thank you, so do you.
I wanted to know, like, what are you up to lately? Like, how do you, like, motivate yourself on a daily basis to... You know, wake up and do good and strive to like be excellent. Tell me
what?
About that.
Okay,
like...
I've been going to school lately, fashion school, Fit'em, and I love it. I've learned how to sew. I make patterns, and I want to start
wow.
a clothing line.
Boring.
So Fit'em has been helping
that's,
me with
that's
that.
That's what helps get you
Other
up every
that,
day, Amanda.
I go spinning.
What about when you took all the drugs to get you up?
And I feed the homeless.
Yeah, how'd you replace the drugs for crying out loud?
A lot of people came out in support of you, your fans. During the hard times that you were going through.
Hard times?
Hard times. You're being fucked up?
Yeah, I'm having a
party. I really appreciate that.
Did you guys ever talk?
We never talked, actually. I know that he called me family, and I love that. He is definitely a family member to me, too.
Who?
Do you miss acting?
Somebody you never
I
talked to.
I do miss acting, and I actually have something surprising to tell you. I'm going to start acting again.
Yes! Yes! Oh my God, I have been a fan of yours for years, so
Thank
hearing
you.
That
You're,
is so
she's
amazing.
She's the only person excited by that
so
news.
I'm so happy. I have actually goosebumps all around.
Of course
around.
She's going to
oh,
act again.
All over my body I have goosebumps because I'm so
really?
Happy to hear that.
Thank you.
What do you think,
I don't
TV?
Have my goosebumps
so,
yet.
What's on your, like, what's in your mind right now?
I want to do TV. Maybe a few guest spots on some shows that I'm a fan of.
What is this background music?
It's
my rules.
I'm a star of it in the future.
Yeah. Can I give you
That's
a hug?
What I hope.
So
of
happy
course.
To hear that. That's like the best news ever. Time to sip tea with...
Oh, little edit there. Oops.
What kind of tea are you having?
I'm actually having strawberry
Who gives a shit?
From Starbucks.
Is that your favorite?
That's my favorite.
Mine is green tea matcha latte. Yeah.
No one cares.
Well, you're the interview. No one cares.
Your Wikipedia page.
So you ready for this?
So ready.
You ready to go there?
Yeah.
Let's go. Amanda said that. She turned into old Amanda for a second.
We should make a Wikipedia page and just put her favorite drink on there.
Murder your vagina.
I actually wasn't being insincere. I was like saying, murder my vagina.
Uh-huh. You were serious.
I was serious, but I was
also
on
So it shut?
So that was my way of saying, like, let's do it,
let's
man.
Do it.
But I was, like, on drugs and trying to be hilarious.
Yeah. Can I be honest?
And you were.
He's really cute.
You were awesome.
He's hot.
He's hot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for you to see that, I mean, I can't blame you.
Thank you.
What's it like
nice interview.
Your vagina burger?
I don't know.
I'm like, what does that even
mean? What does that even mean? It just means,
I think it means
like,
real hard.
Fuck me, Drake.
She can't use it anymore.
She said, fuck me, Drake.
Okay, did Black
China... kind of hot.
Really steal your look.
I stole her look.
You stole her look. So you're saying it out there. You stole her
oh,
look.
Oh, yeah. I was getting the microdermals in my cheeks uh-huh. because she had them. Because
of Black China?
I thought they looked super hot on her.
Yeah.
I never said that she stole my look.
Okay. So no, I was asking if she stole your
oh,
look.
Oh, no.
Okay. So I'm good friends with Black China. I'm going to make sure she, like...
He's aware
her.
Of
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of hers.
Oh,
what?
Yeah, she's really cute.
A fan of Black China?
Yes.
For
she's
what?
She's a cutie pie.
Apparently her cheeks.
That right
Me
now.
Too.
So I want to talk to you about like some of your old co-stars. Let's see. Da-da-da-da. Like, okay. Hot to not. How would you rate them? So Channing Tatum.
Hot.
How would you rate Zac Efron?
Hot.
Because you guys were in Hairspray together.
Correct.
Seth MacFarlane. You guys worked
hot.
Together. Hot.
They're all hot.
Okay, so there he goes.
Great.
Sorry, guys.
Great interview
no,
segment.
That was productive.
No, not. So you're, I'm going to make it more challenging for you.
Okay, great.
So you said they're all hot, but let's rank them.
Okay.
Who is the hottest?
Zach.
Yeah, his abs.
Total.
Abs as a steal.
Oh, my God. How is this a
high-fived?
Channing.
Have you seen Channing recently?
It's really fair.
No,
isn't Seth like 50 years old?
He has kids now.
I know.
He's like a family guy.
Super successful in every movie.
Does Seth MacFarlane belong in a hot or not contest with Zac Efron and Channing Tatum?
No.
Sorry, Seth.
Yeah.
You're third.
No offense.
Sorry, but you're third. I thought it'd also be fun to actually look into your red carpet moments.
Okay.
And rate them hot to not.
Okay.
Wow. She did.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
I tell you, she did a lot of prep for this interview.
So, SAG Awards.
Hot.
Hot.
Number one.
Do you remember that dress, by the way?
I do. It's Marquesa. Yeah.
Second this is such a blown opportunity, though. Attended.
Yes. And then that one, my third favorite.
Third favorite.
That one is
why are you asking about when she was later. Wacko?
Because
what, she was nuts for 5 years. This is the first time she's surfaced. Yeah. How can you be talking about this trivial crap?
It's interesting because I feel like when I look at this photo,
and Bynes is acting like this is the interview she expected.
Well, that's probably why she agreed to it.
She
must know this chick.
Yes.
Somehow.
Marquesa is my number one favorite.
Yeah, it must be.
Is that one of your favorite?
Maybe we pretend everything's okay. People will forget the last 5 years.
Your hair and makeup looks flawless.
Thank you. I went for a Sienna Miller look.
Yeah, because she's like boho chic.
No, you'll never look like Sienna Miller.
See that.
Sorry.
Bynes has packed on some boom.
Okay, next, we have some...
Definitely replaced the drugs with some food.
Demi Lovato, Selena Gomez, and Miley Cyrus.
I've actually never met any of them.
You don't know any of them? That's so crazy. You know, for some reason, I feel like if you're on Nickelodeon or Disney Channel, like, you know each other.
Yeah, no, I don't know any of them.
So that's a big misconception for anybody out there who's in my, like, same position in my head. That's not how Hollywood works.
What?
So you never met them. What
are you talking about?
How would you rate them?
Selena Gomez, hottest.
And she's been through a lot. She's overcome everything.
Exactly. I love her music. I love everything about her. Second hottest would be Miley.
Miley.
She's so much more fun on drugs. Isn't she?
She's a blast.
Yes, I love the new Miley. And third hottest, I'm so sorry.
I'm not trying to encourage anybody to take drugs. Just saying, she's really a dreadfully boring interview. Comparatively.
Well, you gotta remember who's interviewing her here.
Yeah. Alright guys, that's it. Amanda,
thank
you for coming in. I know you don't speak to a lot of people. You haven't really talked to anybody or had a sit-down interview. And it's been a while.
And you wasted your time with this fool.
I'm happy to see that you're doing amazing.
Thank you, gorgeous.
And I know your fans are happy to see that you're doing amazing. And I can't wait to see what's ahead for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming.
Oh,
love you.
Hugging.
Thank you. Love you too. We'll see you guys next time. Bye, everybody. Bye, guys.
The interview, the comments underneath this thing. This interviewer should be ashamed of herself.
She should.
The next one is, I'm good friends with Black China. Sure you are, LOL.
Who cares anyway?
That girl is cringy. Amanda's so calm and professional, she's acting like a fake little kid.
It's actually kind of genius on Amanda Bynes' part by picking the worst interviewer ever. Makes her look normal.
Yeah, that's true. Nobody's talking about Amanda Bynes. Fire the host. Worst host ever. Jesus. The left chick's outfit looks like those... Looked like those cone dogs. Looks like what those cones dogs have to wear. What?
Oh, like a dog. Like a
cones dogs have to wear.
Yeah.
Let's see.
This lady responded on Twitter too because she knows she's been getting hammered.
Oh, she responded.
Well, she's put up things lately. Like sometimes being human and having compassion for those you interview means more than just trying to make headlines. Hashtag Amanda Bynes. How many comments, retweets, and likes? Any guess? That was posted 7 hours ago. 7 hours, a long time in the world.
I have no idea, because I don't think anyone knows this chick, so I have no idea.
Five likes, one retweet.
One retweet? Yeah. I get more than that.
I have no doubt Amanda Bynes will address some of her past experiences when she is ready to. I will support her in however long that may be. That's her decision. You got to ask the questions, though.
Okay, well, someone who uses the identifier Amelia Everything Baby Names is making more sense than she is. She says, this interview had a chance to talk about some real issues. Amanda openly said, I was on drugs. Why not follow up with a question like, so you were going through a tough time then with drugs, but you obviously were going through a tough time in the public eye. What did you learn from your time in your life? Like, come on, how hard a task is that to ask questions?
Yeah. Amanda wanted to hold all serious questions for a longer sit-down interview that we will be doing for a major network.
Oh,
Stay tuned. I can't imagine any major network seeing that piece of shit and going, we need a longer half-hour interview with this
chick. So what I saw on the Today Show was a piece of that piece of shit, right?
Yeah, I believe so, on one of the morning shows, yeah.
I'm amazed anybody picked it up, but I guess
well, nobody's heard from her in 5 years and she had a meltdown.
But she said nothing. Did they just used the part, though, I was on drugs. I specifically remember hearing that.
Yeah.
So they probably didn't. They played maybe a minute of it.
The first comment when she posted the video, this lady, the first comment is, but her questions could have been asked, shaking my head. And she replied to it.
She replied?
Yeah, stay tuned. We have a serious sit-down interview coming very soon. Well, what was that then?
What was the point of that? I mean, why'd you waste our time with that crap?
The next comment. Failed, missed opportunity. Interviewing the amazing Amanda Bynes. So many other important questions could have been asked. Hot to not? Really? To which she replied, "Stay tuned. We have a serious sit-down interview coming very, very soon." "You are so fake and awkward. Please don't ever interview someone again."
Did you respond to that?
Yep. "We'll never stop, but thanks for watching. We have a longer in-depth interview to a major network coming soon."
Ooh.
Next one. "Don't though this that lady replied to that reply. Don't flatter yourself. No one appreciated you."
Strangest thing happened. Mark has secret boy band friends that I didn't even know about.
Yeah.
He texted me this morning. I didn't know Lou Pearlman had died. I'd just gotten up and Mark said, "You want to talk
to you?" Didn't know he died over the weekend?
When did he die? I saw it this morning.
God, I thought it was over the weekend. I haven't paid attention to anything.
I think he died Friday night, actually.
Oh, really?
Was it Friday night?
Did you know he died of a broken heart?
I didn't know that.
It was a broken heart.
Okay.
Just like, is it Andy Gibb?
Who else? Yes, Andy Gibb died of a broken heart. Yes, Victoria Principal broke his heart. So, anyway, we do have a Chris Kirkpatrick connection. It turns out that one of our colleagues at Detroit Sports 105, Jake. Now, how do you know? You're under suspicion for having boy band friends, Jake.
Yeah, probably rightfully so.
How do you know Chris?
So Chris married Carly Scodani. Carly Scodani's father was Tom Scodani. You remember him from the Lions at all?
Yeah, the punter.
Punter from Ohio State.
Yeah, Ohio State still holds the record for longest field goal in Ohio State history.
Nobody asked.
How long?
59 yards.
You mean Nuge didn't break it?
Nuge didn't break it. Except Nuge was awesome.
It's Ted's kid, by the way.
Right. Carly, it's not. Carly and I worked together for the Orlando Magic for a long time, and she ended up marrying Chris Kirkpatrick. And
so
they're pals of mine.
Hey, Chris, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I got you.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. How's it going?
Great. Thanks so much for giving us a few minutes today. It's Drew and Mark. Jake's here too.
Hey, Chris. What up, bud?
What up, buddy?
How are you?
Good.
We were talking about how Jake and Carly, of course, were working together, and Carly's dreams came true when she met you, and Jake's dreams seem to not have come true quite to the same extent.
I'm in a basement, Chris.
Whatever.
Anyway, you got the news about Lou Pearlman, and I'm sure that had to be really kind of strange because of what a roller coaster ride that was with Lou Pearlman.
Yeah, man, it was like, I mean, I said on my Twitter, mixed emotions, and it's one of those things where it's like, I mean, it's almost like a brother, or, you know, I mean, I don't know how people would feel like if it was somebody in their family that did something like disastrous or something horrible, and then they passed away. You're like, well, they were still such a part of your life. You still miss that part of it, but at the same time, you don't condone anything they did, and you're like, you know, what an asshole. Like, why would they ever, you know, do things like that? Like, they tricked me just as much as they tricked everybody else.
Yeah, how long did it take? I mean, I know you guys broke in Europe, right? When things first happened for you guys. And then you came back here and you sort of had some hits going. But it was 4 or 5 years till you really were just killing it here in the U.S. How long did it take you guys to start getting paid sort of what you thought you'd be getting paid for having, you know, big successful records like that?
Well, honestly, the crazy thing to me was I knew Lou, like when I was putting the band together, I knew Lou. And that's, you know, when I met Lou, it was just me. Like I had a couple guys that were with me in some of my groups and they'd drop out, but it was always me. And he'd be, you know, he'd take me to dinner, you know, talk about the future, whatever. And then later on, you know, when I found out, oh, he was into boys and stuff like that, I was like, oh, thank God I was the ugly person. You know, I might have been, like, on that list or whatever. So, you know, he just looked at me as, you know, a good idea. Like, he knew that I had the drive and that I had the means to find all the people. But, you know, we were together for years, went overseas, and it took a really long time. And it wasn't until we got our first check from the record label. So we'd been a band for probably almost, you know, four or five years after we signed our deal. I'm not sure about the time, but we signed our deal in Germany. We did like a couple tours. We did a opening act tour and then our own tour. And then the German
how many
label
people are you,
actually,
how many people, Chris, are you playing in front of? You're playing in front of huge crowds, aren't you?
No. At first, when we were in an opening act, we were playing in front of like maybe 2,000-3,000 people. We opened up for this guy named DJ Bobo, who's actually really popular in Europe. I know that sounds nuts, DJ Bobo, but he was like the MC Hammer
Okay.
But white and Swedish or something.
Wow.
Of,
nice.
You know, of Germany. So he was doing big shows, and we were opening up for him. And then we did our own tour. It was like, I don't know, anywhere from, you know, 400 to, I think Berlin was our biggest. I think it was like 2,000 kids, and that was like the biggest show we'd done. So it was still all small tours. But, I mean, this was a year and a half of photo shoots, and we do, you know, radio tours where you're in front of, you know, 10, 11,000 people, 15,000 people, selling records, doing all this stuff. And then suddenly they give us our first check. And before they made this big presentation, the actual president came up to us and said, you guys should look into your finances because you've been, you know, touring for a couple years and doing this. And this check is not, you know, conducive to what you've been doing.
Can you tell us what the check was for?
Yeah, hell yeah, I'll tell you what it was for. It was for $10,000.
Oh, boy. I thought you were going
to
say,
but
like...
But they gave it to us in a big check, too. And as soon as we got it, Justin and I looked at each other.
Like Ed McMahon?
Looked at each other and we're like, holy cow, we're rich. We got $10,000. And then JC looks at me and he goes, how much did you make at the Outback a year? And I was like, oh, yeah, probably about
$18,000. Wow.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean...
You know, it was just to me because I was getting money, you know, doing what I love to do, like singing. I wasn't waiting tables.
Right.
I wasn't struggling every day to have to be nice to people I didn't want to be nice to. This was what I loved to do. It was, like, amazing.
Well, when was it with the families, you know, or you and your folks or some of the parents or you and the guys got together and said, hey, something is really wrong here? Was it that?
Yeah, that was mostly JC's family. JC had an uncle that was an attorney, and he's the one. I mean, JC is a guy you can't get anything past him. Like he makes sure that like everything, all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, and Justin is too. But you got at this time, Justin's like 15 years old, you know, 16 years old. So, you know, it was more like JC's family was like, you know, something's not right here. Again, you know, to me, I was making money doing what I love, so I was excited as anything. I didn't care, you know, if it wasn't enough money. I could pay my bills on being a musician.
And, Chris, you guys sued him, like, right after the Backstreet Boys pretty much, too, so you kind of saw what they went through, right?
I don't remember. I thought it was before them.
Oh, it was before. Okay. I thought they were kind of back-to-back.
No, I think it was back to back, but I think I'm not sure. I'm not exactly sure.
I mean, did you ever talk to their management and go, wait a sec, you guys are getting screwed by this guy?
No, we had the same management.
Oh, that's true.
Johnny Wright.
Yeah, you had Lou.
It was the same stuff, man.
Wow.
Same cookie cutter stuff. We all just fell in line.
Did you give him a chance? I mean, did somebody say, hey, Lou, you want to check your numbers and see if something's not right here? Because we're pretty sure we should be getting a lot more money than this.
Well, you know what? We gave him a ton of chances, and I think the kicker was for me was the fact that when somebody went in and looked at everything that we had signed, you know, it was, we're looking at this stuff and we're like, okay, so Lou signed as the record label, as part of the record label. Lou signed as part of the management team. Lou signed as part of the production label. And then when we realized how many times Lou was taking out of the pot, it came down, and finally a dollar trickled to the five of us. I'm thinking I'm getting 20 cents on this thing, but he signed as 1/6 member of the band.
So he was actually
a band member.
Oh.
And that's when everybody was like, this doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
Maybe that was the end game, was to actually start performing.
Yeah, right? Could you imagine? Man, the choreography would have been toned way down for sure.
It would be him standing there.
Okay, guys, just Lou, sit there. We're going to dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Like
it'd be like a striptease for him, which would get him off.
Oh, wow. What a story. You know, and to think, you know, here in the end, though, you guys really come out. I mean, eventually you get all worked out and it all ends up in court, but you guys go on to have this fabulous career, which is still rolling. I mean, people still buy these records, of course, and you're still doing stuff. But think of some of these other people, like these people buying shares in Transcontinental Airlines and Airship Incorporated. This dentist who invested $12 million, this doctor, I think it's Dr. Chow or somebody who invested
in
$14 million bucks. And those people, I'm sure never saw, I don't know what they saw, but certainly not much. So it's really different for you guys in that things did work out so wonderfully. And would it have happened without Lou? I don't know. Can you answer that? If you hadn't met Lou?
Well, I can definitely tell you it wouldn't have happened without Lou. You know, I think you can put us in the category with those guys that lost the $12 million or whatever. Because to me, those guys that invested the $12 million probably have about $50 million or whatever.
Sure.
So when they lose the $12 million, maybe they have to sell one of their extra houses. To me, it was about the people that he messed over that were like putting in their life savings.
Yeah, the retirees who are buying the ESA shares.
Exactly. Yeah. And the worst part was he was using us as that carrot. You know, he was dangling, oh, yeah, I've got Backstreet, I've got Instinct, I've done these things. Come out to the shows, I'll get you backstage. And sure enough, you know, whatever they wanted, they were carte blanche. You know, it was, they took care of them. So they're seeing it. Because I was the same way. I saw the stuff. Even after our lawsuit went down, there was a time where he almost had me investing in some of the things that he was doing because
you
just believed it. But that's why this whole thing is so difficult to get a feeling on, you know. None of it is joy. You know, there's obviously no joy no matter who passes away. You can never feel joy in it. But there's so much anger. There's so much resentment. There's so much, you know, relief. There's so much pity. There's just so many things going on that, you know, when I heard the news, it was like I just stood there and I couldn't even cry. Like, I didn't even know what to do. And this is somebody that, you know, I really look to as a father type figure, you know, but I couldn't bring myself to grab an emotion because there were just so many going through my body at that time.
Chris, when was the last time you ever talked to him? Did you ever talk to him after the lawsuit? Did you ever run into him or did he ever reach out to you?
You know what? I was trying to figure that out the other day because I've been asked this a couple times. And I really don't know when it was. I know it was after the lawsuit, but even like when he went to jail and stuff, I was at the point where I was like, you know, I at least want to go see him. I want to go say hi. And we were warned, you know, don't go in there because trust me, anybody who goes to see him, they're going to audit you. They're going to do all these. So I was like, all right, never mind. You know, it's done. I'm good. I don't need to see him that bad, you know.
Did he ever try to contact you after all this went down?
I don't think so. I don't think so. But I will tell you, I am close friends with a lot of people that worked with him. But to me, a lot of those people were duped just like he was. There were some people that, you know, things happened to and they went to the prison and you know, because of it all. But they paid their dues and, you know, it was only because they knew certain things. Nobody really knew the extent. I mean, this guy was telling people he owned an airline. You know what I mean? Freaking airline.
Remember the pictures in the brochure was a model airplane.
Yeah, the picture
of
the
blimp. Airplane.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. Airplane. I saw so many model airplanes. And my dumb ass was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. I never said, hey, can you take me to one of your airplanes? You know, you don't ever. I mean, we got on planes that were like, he's like, yeah, I'm thinking of buying this one. You don't, you know, check your sources and go, could I see the registration of this? Could you tell me the sales that's going on here if he's really buying this plane? You know,
it's
crazy.
Who would have the audacity to do such a thing? Well, there are very few people that can have the audacity and pull it off, and he apparently is one of the all-time con men because $317 million, plus all the public offerings were really a joke, too.
He just seemed like,
and I'll bet if you added what he took from us, and probably Backstreet too, I'll bet you that number would shoot up a lot bigger than that.
Yeah, no, incredible. Easily. You know, I was reading the Vanity Fair story today because it does a good job of kind of dovetailing with the book that I read on Lou, which has got to make you half sick that people are reading about this stuff. But it's, you know, it's certainly intriguing and bizarre and sad and all those things. Anyway, they were talking about when the public offering, the Colorado Brokerage House handled it for, I guess it was Airship, not Transcontinental.
Airship International.
Yeah.
Blimp Company.
And they got $17 million. It was a real shady brokerage house. In fact, the brokerage house was put out of business. They were considered a boiler room on Wall Street. They were put out of business, and Lou hired a couple of their brokers. And people were like, Lou, what are you doing hiring those guys? I think it'd be great with merch.
And, and the other guy said, I think you'd be great with financing. And it's like, oh, wow. I mean, it's just such an odd thing to do. But anyway, one of the partners, I think it was the guy from England, Julian Brescher. Mm-hmm. Does that name ring a bell?
Not really.
Of the early investors probably was probably preceded you by a lot. But he said that what he knew was terribly wrong was that the way he spent money is like he takes a private jet everywhere, every single business meeting. It's a private jet or a helicopter. Nobody can afford to do that. I mean, how can we afford this? I don't understand how we are affording it. And of course, they weren't. But he had to be one of the all time big spenders.
Oh, man, I remember he had a Rolls Royce that, you know, he used to drive around in, and it was just so, you're talking like he drove me around when I was a kid that thought like a Nissan Sentra was the nicest car they'd ever built. You know, I didn't have any concept on money or any of that stuff. Like I was just happy to have a car. And here I am in this Rolls Royce and I'm thinking, what an old car. Why would you buy this piece of crap? You know? But, you know, not knowing that, you know, that car was like a $200,000 car or things like that. And every dinner, I mean, it was so bad that I remember, you know, when I was waiting tables, he'd always take me out, And every other time I'd pay for it because even though I really didn't have that money, I'd pay for it because I wasn't the type of person to sit there and say, oh, yeah, I used this guy because I saw so many people around him. And, you know, looking back now, I've seen it a million times. And normally when you see people around somebody that are always gimme, 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 I mean, they've been around me, you know, I see it now. But at the time, I was like, this makes no sense. These people are clingers. They're hanger-oners. I'm like, how much respect do they have for themselves that they can't, they come out to these dinners and they're like, before the check even comes, they're like, okay, see you later. Thanks a lot, Lou. And you know, just always took the check. So, you know, there's all these things and I was still young enough that I didn't get it. I didn't get the whole business side of it. You know, like I said, it took somebody in JC's family to go, something doesn't make sense. And even when they're telling me to my face, something doesn't make sense, I'm trying to rationalize it. You know, I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, this guy's got an airline. He owns blimps. I saw a blimp. I went on a blimp. I'm like, this is crazy. I didn't ask for the registration again.
Yeah, his house sounded,
you know,
like it was
really.
I mean, his house was, looks, I'm looking at a picture of his house right now. Holy shit. I mean, look at that thing.
Well, that was the house that he had built, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what house this is.
Yeah, I think so, Chris.
Because, yeah, he had a nice, it was, well, to me, it was one of the nicest houses I've ever seen at the time. But looking back, it was a you know, nice house in the Bay Hill area, you know, but he had this, like, C-3PO in a glass cabinet and all this stuff. So, I mean, I knew the guy had money. And when he first came in and, you know, I can tell you, I remember the phone call. So I don't know if you know the whole story. I'll try to make it really quick. But the whole story was I went to Valencia at the East Campus, and I was in chorus with Howie from the Backstreet Boys.
Yep.
And Howie, I was always doing these quartets because I knew how big the New Kids were. I knew that, you know, it took me a while because I was doing these quartets, doing this a cappella, and the girls were going crazy. And I'm like, why are they going crazy for like four or five guys doing like harmonies and stuff? So I knew Howie. Howie took one of the guys from my quartet and brought him to the Backstreet Boys. They brought in a headshot, and I was like, what the hell is this crap? You know, I'm like, we're doing a cappella stuff. You guys are singing to a track. I'm like, this is ridiculous. But then that kid gets kicked out. So it was actually Howie, Nick, and AJ, and then my buddy, and I don't remember the other kid. But then they got Brian and Kevin in their band. And my buddy calls, like, I left Valencia, and I'm going to Rollins, Hamilton Holt, not the real Rollins. I wasn't, like, I was night school. But I'm going to Rollins, and he calls me up, and he goes, hey, Lou's looking for another band. And I'm like, I've got the quartet right here. So me and him brought these other guys. Then he ended up quitting, and then all the guys in my band quit, and I kept bringing them new guys. And then finally, over the course of time, it was me, Justin brought in JC, And then we ran into Joey, and we'd already had somebody, but we kicked him out that night and brought Joey in. So it was the four of us for a long time. Then I think about a year later, we got Lance. So I'd been working really hard on this, and all this time, I'd been friends with Lou. And Lou was like, you know, meeting the guys that I'd bring in and you know, bring out or whatever. And it was just, it was so young and so new that, you know, I would do whatever it takes, you know, to make it. So to me, it was like working three jobs, going to school full time, and then still trying to find time to rehearse different songs and get stuff together and write stuff. And, you know, it was just, it was crazy that this was falling in my lap, and I didn't want to let it go. You know, I tried everything I could to make it happen. And then of course it eventually happened. And now you're talking about a guy that was in the genesis of this project, and suddenly you find out later on in life he's a crook.
Chris, Drew mentioned the Vanity Fair article, and anytime an older man is doing boy bands, there's going to be the question about what is the real motivation behind it. Do you think it was just money? Do you believe the stuff that was said in the Vanity Fair article?
Hell no. Hell no.
Hell no.
About money?
About money.
Hell no wasn't just money.
Yeah, so he was a pedophile? You believe?
Okay, I again... firsthand, I can't speak for it because I've never seen anything happen. I've seen really odd behavior, you know, things like you'd walk in, hey guys, let me see what your abs look like. You know, it's like, why do you want to see what our abs look like?
That's okay. Drew had his breathing checked
like,
once
to me,
by
I'm
a guy.
I'm an idiot. I'm just thinking this guy's a mogul. And he's like, knowing that we might have to do a video with our shirts off or something. So he's like, and of course, I never had a six pack, so I kept going, yep, same old cake, dude. You know, it wasn't anything that, you know, I hear now, like all these stories. Like I saw the Vanity Fair special that they did. And in the Vanity Fair their special, there was a kid that was like, I drove limo for him forever. And I'm like, man, that was way after us. I didn't even know who the kid was. Uh-huh. And I guess he said that Lou did things or whatever. And I'm like, it wouldn't put it past, you know, I wouldn't be surprised that any of it happened. But again, at the time I was so clueless that, you know, to me, I'm like, yeah, Lou, I'm trying to get abs. I just can't get them.
Well, people always talked about Nick Carter and Aaron Carter, and you know, the family, that's a little weird family dynamic there anyway with his parents. And then in that, the article, the Vanity Fair article, there's a guy from a band called Take Five, and Lou would answer the door nude and show them. But then he'd also show them, like, naked. He'd show them porno and stuff,
yeah,
which really sounded like he was
come
grooming.
Over for a seat, watch a movie. Oh, gay porn again. What do you know?
Yeah, it was weird.
Right. Now, see, but, you know, even knowing those guys, like, to me, I think there was probably something else. Like if it was a porno, it was probably like a normal porn.
Yeah,
but Lou's naked, and they're probably young kids. Like, I don't know, is this what we're supposed to do? You know, it's like, I guess we're all supposed to get naked and watch chicks. This is awesome, you know.
I know, it's just so bizarre, and there's so much shame. Nobody wants to talk about it. Of course, I mean, it's just.
But there was
ugly.
Never.
Oh, I'll talk about it.
But yeah, there's a few people do.
There never seemed to be an allegation, a direct allegation that he ever did anything, though. And I don't know if that's because people had too much.
That's kind of what I meant.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, you know, not to throw any fuel on the fire, but, you know, who knows, after this weekend, you know, maybe some people will start coming forward and saying, you know, hey, this happened to me, or, you know, this happened to me, and, you know, I don't know. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about something that Rich Cronin had said or something, and, you know, it's just, again, it's just so strange because I saw it, and I mean, you're talking to a kid that grew up in the 80s, and when I saw the Culture Club, I didn't realize why Boy George was so strange to me. Like, you know, I didn't know he was gay. I didn't know anything about, like, to me, it didn't matter. I didn't care, but I was just so clueless of the whole thing. Like, it was just people being people, and with all this stuff happening, and it wasn't until later, you know, that I see these kids, and I'm like, he is around a lot of young boys. You know, and he always wants to make this young boy thing happen. Like, it's weird.
Let's ask it another way. Did you ever see him with a grown woman or even a grown man, an adult man or an adult woman?
I did.
Oh.
I did see him with a woman. With a woman, though. And I don't know, again, if it was like him trying to be, like, nothing ever happened. Like, she would be this, I don't remember what her name was, anything. She could have been a hooker for all I know.
I'm sure she was way, way too hot, no matter what she looked like.
She was pretty hot. And
yeah.
I don't even think she was on Lou, but it was like after she left, he's all like, yeah, that's my girlfriend. You know, we're talking, whatever. And me, I'm like, wow, that's freaking awesome. Like, if Lou can get that, I could get anything.
If Lou can get that, I can get anything.
You know?
Yeah, and I'm sure his money would have nothing to do with it,
of course. Of course not.
But yeah, here's...
No, have you ever seen that meme or something where there's like a big, ugly, hairy guy in the water with some hot supermodel with his wife, and it said something like, if your son ever says why he needs to go to college, show him this picture. And then if your daughter ever says why does she need to go to college, show her the same picture.
Oh, brilliant stuff. Hey, I was really interested, Chris, when you were talking about singing a cappella and, you know, these girls screaming and stuff, and it sort of surprised you. Was there a time in your career, or, you know, before you really got in bands and stuff, where you said, you know, I want to be Tom Petty, or I want to be, you know, one of these guitar-heavy bands, or Pearl Jam, and you know, you end up in this situation where you got five guys singing, which is really maybe not, certainly rock and roll people wouldn't think of that as the thing to do, but, I mean, who's going to argue with the success? I just wondered if that was something you thought about.
Listen, Def Leppard was, I've memorized every song they have from High and Dry to On Through the Night, to Pyromania, to Hysteria, to everything. Like, I knew, like, Def Leppard, I was in bands in high school where, you know, I thought that was what I was going to do. I was in the All Ohio State Fair Youth Choir, and the year I was in it, the New Kids were playing, and we were opening up for the New Kids. And all the girls in my choir were like, oh, my God, they're so dreamy, and they're so... I'm like, yeah, but they could do this, and I'm doing flips off of trees. I'm doing moves to the bat dance that I thought were so cool. And, like, all this stuff, like, thinking, you know, I'm thinking, man, I always thought it was, like, Motley Crue and these guys that got all the girls, but it's these boy band guys. Well, at the time, we didn't know boy band. I just knew the New Kids. And I'm like, man, the New Kids are, like, girls just love them. But I never thought, like, that would be the type of band I would be in. You know, to me, I was going to be a rocker, and I was going to, like, be like Vince Neil or Nikki Sixx and all the girls backstage. And, I mean, geez, how many concerts I went to through the years that I was like, yeah, this is what I want to do. And the next thing you know, I start doing this a cappella because I like writing a cappella music. I liked harmonies. I mean, I listened to Ladysmith Black Mambazo from Africa, which is like, you know, harmony layered on harmony. And I could pick them out and write them, and that's what I loved. And suddenly, you know, here I am in this band that, you know, is basically modeled after New Kids. And it blew my mind.
Yeah, the Motley Crue, they got plenty of chicks, too. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of music you're doing. The chicks will always gravitate towards it. But I just wondered if, you know, even when you started having success, if guys said, hey, well, how about if we get a few guitars out, and instead of all the dancing, maybe we... But get some instruments on the stage. I mean, was that even ever discussed, or was that just, oh, come on, cut it out?
Well, to us, like, nobody'd really done dancing like we did it. You know, everybody, to me, it was all these Temptations, Jackson 5, Bill Haley, no, Bill, not Bill Haley, but even New Kids, even what Backstreet was doing. You know, I'm watching all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, so that's cool. Like, everybody can step, touch, and sing. And I'm like, watch this. And we would go do backflips off the walls and you know, break dance and head spins and front flips and back flips and still stay on pitch. And to me, sang better than most of the other guys anyway.
Chris, how often do people come up to you and do the bye, bye, bye thing now?
You know, I wish I would have written a song called, hey, Chris, here's 50 freaking bucks.
I could just see every joker doing that.
Because Bye 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 is like, yeah, I feel like Rick James probably did in his later years after Dave Chappelle made him immortal with his stuff. And it's like, poor Rick James was probably sitting there and I'm Rick James, bitch. He goes, yeah, I haven't heard that one yet. Hey, Chris, see you later. Bye, bye, bye. Oh, that's good. Is that with yourself or?
Same thing with you. Yeah. Hey, before we let you go, it's so strange to be doing this obit of Lou Pearlman. There's nothing. I mean, what can you say that's nice? And I saw some of the things people were saying, and I think it was Justin said R.I.P. and I was like, R.I.P. God, I can't believe you just said R.I.P. It seems like you would say something else, but I understand.
Right.
It's really complicated. Is there anything good you can say about Lou, or you want to say about Lou, or is that
yeah,
just?
Yeah, of course. Well, first of all, you know, rest in peace to me is, you know, that you can't pay a due or pay a toll that's worse than death, you know. And first of all, I don't, you know, even in our society, in our system. You know, if you murder somebody, you will get the death penalty. But if you steal from somebody, do you deserve the death penalty? Like, is death equal to that? And, you know, I think Lou was a selfish person, a real selfish person. And I think he had a lot of bad flaws. He never killed anyone. Did he take people's money? Did he leave people in a place of, you know, maybe somewhere they could never come out of? Yeah. And am I condoning that? By any means, no. You know, but at the same time, he has nothing left he can give back now. You know, he's gone. You know, so in the end, you know, you just want him to rest in peace. You know, hopefully all those demons that made him do what he did aren't chasing him anymore. You know, now he's at peace with everything. And now the people that were, you know, screwed over by him are at peace because they have nothing they can worry about with him going, oh, well, in 9 years, he'll be out and he'll be a free man again. And here I am with no money. You know, I mean, like I said, he took millions and millions of dollars from us. It wasn't to the extent that he took from a lot of those people, I understand. But at the same time, you know, there's nothing more I would want from him than just to be at peace. There's nothing more I could ever get from him or that I think he owes me. You know, I think that, you know, he got the prison sentence that he deserved, and, you know, sad to say, it ended up costing him his life. He ended up, you know, passing away in prison. So, you know, his last good years were probably, what, 13 years ago, 14 years ago, whatever it was, when he went into jail.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so he spent the last 13 paying a price. And now he paid the ultimate price of his life. So,
well, really, since
you know,
the moment
again, mixed emotions.
From the moment he fled, when he knew he was going to be indicted, that's been really,
right.
Has he had a good day since then? Probably not.
Right.
And I wondered if anybody collected anything, because it seemed to me like he just spent every dime that came in. He spent it faster than it came in. Was anyone able to recover anything from him?
I really hope that in all of this that something comes out, that they find like this big huge thing of money that he was saving, and a lot of those people can get their savings back, you know. And I would hope they would be smart with it and go, oh well, the guys that lost $10 million, $20 million obviously have a lot more that they could lose, but the people that lost, you know, all
the
of their
dollar,
savings,
yeah,
they, if they find anything, they should get paid back first. And you know, and you know, we can only hope that something comes up, but you know, I have a feeling he probably had already spent it.
Wow. Well, Chris, I really appreciate your time. It's a real complicated subject, but fascinating at the same time. And I just so appreciate you giving us some good time today on this, and wish you the very best.
Yeah, no problem, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
Great talking to you.
Thanks,
hope we can do
Chris.
It again sometime. Yep. Let us know when you're
for
coming.
Sure.
If you're coming around promoting anything, let us know.
I will, for sure. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, you.
Chris. See you, dude.
All right.
Yep, later.
Chris Kirkpatrick.
Bye-bye.
Amazing story.
Bye.
Plenty to say about Lou. Man.
Yeah.
What
wow.
How about after all of it's happened, he's sitting there and he's still thinking about investing in whatever Lou's next scam is. Like, the dude must have just had a silver tongue, you know?
Oh, he did.
Oh, yeah.
No, he was.
I mean, it makes sense when Chris is 16 or 17 and he's seeing the flashy stuff and he's, you know, you sort of buy into it. But then after a while, I mean, People well, just
probably,
trusted that.
He probably
he's
saw
a con. He was an incredible con.
And
incredible.
He saw other people throwing money at him, so you don't want to miss out on a great investment opportunity.
He had public offerings, and you know they raised $3 million at the first one, and then they had two more with this Colorado brokerage house that was totally shady. Got $17 million out of that, and then he claimed that these ESA, you know, ESA's employment-involved employee-insured EISA. I can't remember what the SA are. But people are going, wait, but I'm not an employee. How can I invest in that? And he said, oh, well, it's a strange little clause that we have that allows us to have non-employees invest in this. And they were like, really? And he said, yeah, and it's FDIC-insured, and also AIG insures it, and Lloyd's of London. Well, he also offered only a prime 1% over prime, so people weren't that suspicious. Because when you say, hey, 14, 15%, people go, that seems a little shady. But he said 8%.
Yeah.
And guaranteed him 8%. And so people, of course, jumped at it. And that's he was referring to those retirees.
I always wondered that with Ponzi schemes. Like, don't the people involved bear some responsibility? Like, why do you think you're going to get 10% back when the market's falling and crumbling?
Sure they do, because they could have invested with I don't know, Fidelity.
Yeah.
Or they could have invested with Vanguard or, you know, somebody, you know, who's so big. Although, you know, even now, you got Lehman Brothers a few years ago. That could happen, too. But, you know, when you're investing with an individual who's running something like that, you got to really, really
like
look
at it. Like
Madoff,
yeah.
Look, the word scheme is in the acronym.
An Enterprise Investment Scheme Association. No, that's a parody. That's a, that's got to be a joke.
Thank God. It's still so funny. The you remember the brochures he made up for the airline?
ESA is employee. And I know that's the first word in the E is because I know people who've had ESAs with their companies when they work there. It's like a 401k sort of.
But are you what are you investing in? Are you investing in the company itself, or is it just like a fund for the employees to invest?
I think it's a fund for the employees to invest in. You know, okay. I'm not entirely sure, but he, you know, he claimed that it was FDIC insured and Lloyd's of London was involved. Well, somebody went to Lloyd's of London at one point and said, "Are you insuring this?" Blah blah blah, and they said no. And ooh. And Lloyd's of London looked into it. Lloyd's of London called the SEC.
Good.
And guess what the SEC did? Nothing.
Oh, nothing. I'm shocked.
That was in 1999, so they could have saved a lot of people some heartache had they. And you know, the
a
SEC
lot of times
told about Madoff too. Right. What the fuck does the SEC do? I mean, how stupid are they? There were so many people that said what Madoff is doing is not possible. The numbers, you can't make them work. It's not, and they knew this, and yet they still. I don't know if you saw the TV movie.
Yeah, with what's his name. From Jaws. What the hell's his name? The actor.
Oh, Dreyfus. Was, he was great.
He's
I thought he was
phenomenal.
Really good. Yeah, that was a great movie. I thought it was. I enjoyed it.
It's very good.
But so people were onto this. And then the FDIC insured thing, too, that would have been easy to check on. And how it finally blew up was, you know, I was referring to Julian, I think his name's Brescher. He was this guy from, he was an heir from England who somehow Perlman met and talked his talk and got him to invest millions in the blimp business, and later in the airline.
I just laughed, by the way, that Lou Perlman had a blimp business because he's a fucking blimp himself.
Well,
this
the first
is so silly.
The first blimp he flew was this haphazardly put together. He was selling.
He used the money that he sold, right? Wasn't it a big lie?
He sold Jordache.
That's right.
On advertising on his blimp. And Jordache spent a lot of money, and so then he had to buy the blimp. So he bought this old blimp.
He should have just put on a pair of Jordache and walked around himself. Say, hey, I told you you'd be on a blimp.
Anyway, the Jordache blimp was poorly assembled because he bought a 13-year-old blimp, and there was problems with putting it together. When he finally got the paint on it, the gold paint Jordache want, it faded within days. To this brown color, and one of the guys said it just looked like a giant turd. The blimp did. The coloring was just really screwed up, and
it crashed.
Yeah. The first mile it flew, it crashed. It made national news too. I mean, it was huge national news. I guess when it happened, I don't remember it, but
that was in the late 80s.
That was in the early 80s or mid 80s, actually. Jesus. I think maybe late 80s. But anyway, Brescher around the late 90s wanted his money out, and Lou claimed that nothing I can do because this German blimp, this guy that had, he was like the biggest blimp guy in Germany, Helmut something. Of course, his name's Helmut.
Helmut.
Hindenburg?
Yeah. Helmut Hindenburg.
He actually flew his first blimp out of the same place the Hindenburg crashed, really? Ironically. But anyway, he said, well, this German guy owns 82% of it. I can't do anything. He's the biggest investor we have. So instead of pursuing it with Lou, he flew to Germany to meet with this guy. And the guy said, he said, you know, you've got 82%. You own 49 airplanes. Can't I just get my money out of this? It's not even that much. And the guy said, 49 airplanes? I don't own any 49 airplanes. Oh. I don't have anything to invest. What are you talking about? And he said, you know, he just like went completely numb because he knew it was all bullshit right then and that he wasn't getting his money back. But that was when the thing, well, started to blow up anyway.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that moment?
Oh.
Oh.
Ugh. Oh, God.
I can't imagine, though, like doing it again if you're Perlman. Like, just keep reloading and re-scamming people.
Yeah. Oh, he never stopped. He, at the end, you know, when he was really seeking funds to keep it going, mm-hmm. because he was, you know, he was having to pay off old investors with new investors' money, he was going after, you know, old family friends that lived in his building for, you know, he lived in that building in, I think it was Queens, for, his family was there for 30 or 40 years, and he knew all those neighbors, knew him all his life, and used to come back and see him. And, in fact, he co-opted one of the people in the building was the real blimp freak. He could see out the window to Flushing the airport there, and he said he saw the blimp there in 64, and he became infatuated, got a job there over the summer. Lou co-opted his entire story about, yeah, I saw the blimps out the window, I went and worked there over the summer, and it was his name was Alan Gross, and he said,
Gross.
You know, when he read that, he was like, wait, that's me, what the fuck?
So weird.
Me. Know, isn't that weird?
Well, he's a loser.
Total.
Yeah, but that's like a sick mind. You know, like, I mean, that's pathological lie.
When are these people that he clearly touched going to come forward? There's got to be people. As many boy bands as he oversaw, even the minor ones, there's got to be someone that comes forward now.
Yeah, but I mean,
I don't know why they wouldn't come forward when he's in prison.
That's what I'm saying. Well, what does him dying necessarily change to them?
Yeah, because there's no retribution. There's nothing you can get out of it, and it's just embarrassing. And you know,
well, that's why you never came forward before, I suppose.
One of the things,
if he's behind bars for a long time, then he can't harm anyone else. Remember that big story about the guy that stole all the moon rocks from NASA? Didn't they make it into a movie?
Is that a guy that worked there?
Yeah, and I think he did it for a chick. Does that ring a bell to anybody?
It does sound familiar.
Yeah.
I can't remember the movie, though.
Yeah, I can't either. But you know what a good movie is Tyler Perry's A Madea Christmas.
Oh, God.
Which had this brat for my Sweet 16 in it.
Okay, let's take a look at Super Sweet 16.
Is it Sex on the Moon, by the way?
Yes. Yep,
oh, that's that's it.
Yeah. Huh. It's a crazy story. The real story of it's wild.
Yeah, it was a good movie, wasn't it?
I never saw the movie. I just remember when it came out, everybody rewrote the story about what it was about.
Hey, now I'm trying to remember if I saw it or just heard about it. I think I saw it. Might have seen it. I don't know.
Here's my man, Noah.
All new Sundays at 7, only on MTV.
Look at this dick. How far until Drew hates this kid?
I'm turning 16. I'm also releasing my music on the same day.
Now, shut up. Only is shut my 16th up.
Birthday. This is my album release party.
This is crazy.
Is this it?
Oh my God. Yes.
No, that was wrong. Do it one more time.
Nope. No.
I've been really sick, so I haven't been able to rehearse.
You're not breathing before you sing. Come on.
Well, your music sucks anyway, so.
Who's even coming? It's too much.
Stop. And just sing your song.
Struggle is real right now.
Are you a little bit nervous or no?
Oh, I'm real nervous right now. This is gonna be the performance that could make or break my music career.
We got no mic. I need a microphone. We got no mic.
Whoa.
Somebody's in big trouble.
Not only is it his Sweet 16, it's his record release party.
Oh, God. This is too funny.
Thinking about having a start off with just the guitar.
There's this band.
My name is Noah. I'm 15. Noah is crazy, spontaneous, and fun. I'm an actor, singer, and dancer.
Oh, God.
I'm in a band with my best friend.
It sucks.
We play kind of like more punk rock music.
Oh, yeah, you look like a punker.
That's not punk.
But my solo career is like my main focus. I started acting in musical theater when I was about 8, and then started doing movies and TV shows when I was about 10. I've been a main character on a show called The Kicks. I did a movie called Medea's Christmas, and
never
I get started on a ton of Nickelodeon shows. For the past,
what the
like,
fuck does
know,
that mean?
Trying to like evolve from being that young Nickelodeon kid, because I want people to know like I'm also like a musician, and I really have a passion for this. I love music at home.
Yeah, you and 9 million
and
other
at my
people.
Party, I want to debut my new album Always, and I'm really pumped for this.
He's one who sucks.
I've been in the studio every week, bro. It sucks because I've been sick and I haven't been be able to rehearse with you guys. It's been rough.
The band looks bummed. He's leaving them behind.
Working on that solo career.
This party that we're throwing is going to be crazy. So for my 16th birthday, I was thinking about having a red carpet with all the press there.
What press?
Of me and my Hollywood friends.
Maybe what press?
Arriving in a fancy
what
car.
Hollywood friends?
And I want everybody to be dancing because this is going to be like the first time doing? Everybody's going to see me perform my own music. I'm so nervous, bro.
Just know that if there's two people in the audience singing the loudest, it's
fake! He's leaving you behind, man. Chump change.
Chump change.
Jackson 5.
This could be your performance plan.
That'd be insane.
Let me guess, the parents kiss his ass because he makes all the money with his Nickelodeon show.
Well, you know, I looked up his parents as I want to do every time I watch Sweet 16. His dad actually seems pretty successful. I believe he is a builder, commercial and residential property in Orange County.
So that's probably why the kid has his own studio and crap like that.
And mom, at one point, it looked like she ran a resale furniture company.
Okay.
It's not like the Sweet 16s of past, though, where the people were insanely rich.
No, that's true.
Because all this brat got was a new guitar, and he about cried while on stage.
How's his music, Mark?
Oh, you want to see it?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, he did find the microphone.
Oh, thank God. Did you watch this, Brandon?
No, I just spoiled it, though. Because I know he gets
all right. I think we can handle a spoiler alert. We don't need a spoiler alert for this stupid show.
When he was looking at the venue, he goes, I'm starting to think my record release is outweighing the importance of my birthday party. Fuck you. Wow. Do you notice anything about his bedroom, by the way?
Oh, all his guitars?
No, here's his... that's his stylist. He has a stylist and a vocal coach.
Oh, Christ. He looks like shit. I'm sorry. He looks like he's running for president.
Yeah, he doesn't have any
senior
pews.
Class.
Okay, well, let's do
that's
the next one.
That's his stylist.
One.
I wouldn't say anything. I just want to give her a hug.
Yeah, the chick.
Is this it?
Oh, my God.
How do you feel?
Yes.
I feel like I feel like this is upping the game. I like it a lot.
I thought the other one was Justin Timberlake. This one is even more Justin Timberlake. Yeah.
I think that's it.
He's not that hot.
Don't wear that out.
Sorry.
Look, you know something about his room?
Wait, what about it?
Hey. You're so long. How you feeling?
I'm doing all right.
Well, you would think a star of his magnitude would have something larger than a twin bed that he shares with his brother that has a twin bed in one room.
Oh, that's pretty twisted.
They broke Leanne's bed!
Mom's really upset because he sent out a video to his Instagram followers to come to his record release party, and she thought it was going to be an intimate birthday party.
It might still be.
How many followers
she
does he have?
Worry.
90,000.
Oh,
90,000. That's a pittance, though, compared to
people
of his ilk. I mean, that sounds ridiculous, but isn't it kind of true?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the backpack kid has 500,000.
He got interviewed on the red carpet.
So, oh, no. Who interviewed him?
His friend. The friend that was just at the with his
interviewed
stylist.
Him for who for what
for
what outlet
I don't know. It was not sent to record anywhere. It was just
that's
a
ridiculous
microphone.
I mean, is there a website or something that runs on?
I don't know. If there was, they didn't mention it. All right, here's the dramatic record release performance.
Your fear.
Oh yeah, Fear Factor's coming back.
Hosted by Ludacris. Premieres Tuesday, May 30th.
Oh, Ludacris, yeah.
Woo. Or him.
Does anybody stay with a music career more than 5 minutes now?
This picture of this twink.
We got no mic.
Uh oh.
It's like the biggest performance of my life, and I don't have a mic.
Oh my god!
I'll see if I can find one for you. I have no clue what to do. Someone better get this microphone quick because I can't go on without it.
Okay.
Oh, that was really hard to find that microphone.
It's easy to hide behind a microphone.
Ha 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 ha! He's got four male
stupid
dancers.
Crowd. Who are these?
They're
who are these femme dancers?
Adults dancing for a 15-year-old.
And everybody's got their phone recording him.
Why is the crowd going crazy?
Well, it's only like five of them.
Now, that sounds like a stadium full of people.
Yeah, it does.
I suspect they hyped in some music. Or some
stay true to your 15. Are you at the front of the crowd? Are you in front going crazy?
I'm feeling so amazing.
No.
And the energy is crazy in this room.
Wait. Hold on. We're not done yet.
He's just dead.
What I guess is going to buy him a whore.
Isn't he going to buy him a whore? He's got his pick of the litter.
I bought him when he was a little kid. And he's torn up that guitar and he's played it till it couldn't play anymore. So, Noah, you deserve this.
How come everybody else on Sweet 16 gets a car?
No car? I'm outraged.
Yo, my dad never liked
What's wrong with you? Don't you watch Super Sweet 16? You're supposed to get a car.
Because you bought me something.
We're so proud of you, the hard work that you've done. We thank all of you guys.
Hard work. He's got a choreographer, a vocal coach,
a stylist.
How old is this kid?
I'm so excited right now. I see all these people that I know and love, and it's such a great feeling to know
all about you.
I've never seen someone so high on themselves. I mean, he looks high, doesn't he?
So much fun. No, it was incredible. Yeah.
He is jazzed.
You did such a good job. Thank you.
So did he just perform like one song?
His performance was amazing. I'm having so much fun. That was going to be the next big star.
I really wanted to see her really bad.
Oh my god, this show's the best.
Okay, so
I'm on cloud nine. This is probably the best day that I've ever had in my entire life.
Where's
it's all downhill from here, my man.
Where's it on the Billboard 200?
Oh, I'm gonna look it up.
Is it? It's made the Billboard 200. So
has it even been released?
Well, let's find out.
Name of that song.
Always, because he said it about 50,000 times.
His name is Noah Urea.
Urethra. Oh, yeah, Urea.
Urea?
How do you spell his name?
U-R-R-E-A.
That's a product of urine. Did you know that?
Okay, here's
his... Yes, good point. I'm surprised he hasn't changed his name. I guess that's coming.
So he's got a video for this on YouTube. Anybody want to guess how many...
How many views?
...views he has on YouTube?
Well, he was just on Super Sweet 16, so... I'm going to guess there's... I hate to guess this, but I'm going to guess it's 110,000.
Trudy, want to guess? Brandon, want to guess?
Okay.
2 million.
16,000.
Oh! I'm so happy.
Sorry.
This is the happiest I've felt in years. Wow. What a great feeling that is. I'm twice as happy as that guy was during that show. God, that's fantastic. 16,000.
Wow, he must
comments.
I'm reading the comments.
I hope there's some horrible comments.
They're all really nice.
Of course, jackasses, phonies, sycophants.
Does have some downvotes though.
Oh, any shitty comments? Please tell me the shitty.
I'm still looking.
I gotta make his night. If you can find him.
I love this so much. Everybody loves this suit.
Tux. It was a standard tux. Big deal. God.
No negative. This is like the only video on YouTube with no negative comments.
It's an outrage. Yeah. Well, make one. Yeah. Make a negative comment.
Oh, you found one?
That dog shit.
How far did you have to go, Jay?
Quite a ways, Harry James. Dog shit.